Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? And why did he suffer like no man has ever done? There's just one reason. I was the one. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. When I'm sad, he loves me. Even when I'm bad, he still loves me. When it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus, he loves me. He loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me, he loves me, he loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Thank you for that special, wonderful truth. That begins it all right there. Jesus loves us. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. If you have your Bibles there, if you take them with me, please, and turn to Matthew and chapter 22. Matthew 22. When you find your place there, if you're able to, I'd ask if you'd be able to stand with me as we read God's Word this morning. Matthew and chapter 22. I'd like you to read along with me. I'll have you read the first verse, and I'll read the second verse. And we'll do that all the way until verse 40. We'll read responsively. So you read verse 34, I'll take verse 35. And we'll continue that down to verse 40 in Matthew and chapter 22. Okay, if you've got your place there, and if you're there at verse 34, let's read that all together. But when the Pharisees had heard, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're thankful that you would send your only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in church. I ask now as we're here that we would give our attention to your precious word and to the preacher. Lord, stir our hearts. Do something new inside of us. Lord, help us to listen intentively, Lord. Help us to give our hearts to you. Please do whatever you will with us. And we'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. Be with Pastor Becker as he preaches. Use him, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll have a moment of honesty. I've been getting over a cold that somebody gave me, probably last Sunday. I'm not sure. And so I was praying about it and said, Lord, you got to do a miracle if I'm going to be at church on Sunday morning. So I'm here. And so that's a blessing. I'll be honest, I don't know how I sound out there, but in here I sound very weird. And so it's a little stuffy, so I don't know, again, and if it doesn't come out right, then blame it on the medicine or something. I'm not exactly sure with that, but forgive me for not going to shake hands and talk to everyone. I don't think you want it, although some were asking for it, so if you really want it that bad. But anyway, I know we have a few out sick and some that are pretty sick, so praying for if you're at home and couldn't make it here today. In Matthew chapter 22, this is what we're going to passage we're going to look at today. And we looked last week and talked about the subject last Sunday morning about how much God loves us. You ever think about that? Does that captivate you, the thought that the creator of the universe, the God of heaven, that he loves you? Not just that God loves the world, but God loves you by name individually, that God loves you. That should captivate us. That could control our thoughts and our minds and our hearts, that God loves you. This passage here we're going to look at today, we talked last week about God's love, God's everlasting love, God's perfect love, God's sacrificial love. The love of God, the Bible says, that passeth knowledge, that we can't truly comprehend and understand how much that God loves us. God loves us enough to come and to die for us. That sacrificial love that he showed on the cross, that he would die for you and for me, and the fact that God saved you. Amen? Aren't you thankful today that you are saved, a child of God? Never a worry or a wonder about going to hell, but you're going to heaven. That's the love of God. That God saves, that God keeps you saved. Amen? That God saved you. He didn't say, you got to figure it out now. God saves you and he keeps you. If it was up to you and me, we'd lose it all the time. I feel bad for those that have a religion. They believe that you have to work to get saved or to stay saved. If I did, I'd be terrified. You know how many times I lose my salvation every day? Don't look at me like that. You too as well, right? We lose our salvation all the time if it was up to you and me. But God loves you so much. He saves you and he keeps you. He wants to be with us for all eternity in heaven. But also that God wants a relationship with you. God wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to spend time with him individually, that God loves you. We sang that song, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. And tell me that story of Jesus Christ. You can read all the nursery rhymes and the books. I'm not against those, unless if they're unbiblical, of course. But get your Bible out and tell your kids the story of Jesus. Tell them about Jesus Christ. He wants to spend time with you. God loves you. But today I want to talk to you about this, not just God's love for you, but your love for God. God's love for us should make us want to love him back. You know that God will not force a relationship upon you. God will not force you to be saved. And if he could, he'd be right because he's God. But he doesn't force us to get saved. He doesn't force us to spend time with him. But he is longing for your love. He's longing for your attention. He's longing to spend time with you. This passage we read here, the Pharisees, it says they had heard that the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together, and one of them, which was a lawyer, is that surprising to you? A lawyer asked him a question, tempting him and saying, that's foolish to come and to try to tempt God, isn't it? It's foolish to come and question God, to think that somehow we know better God or we're going to catch God in a fault somehow. And he tempted him, it says, saying, what is the great commandment in the law? Thinking that somehow he was all-knowing and he knew everything and Jesus didn't. Trying to trick him and mess him up. And Jesus said to him in verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Look at this with, what's the next word? All thy heart. Anyone in here done that? You love God with all your heart. No. That's the commandment though, with all thy heart. With all thy soul, with all thy mind, this is the first and great commandment. Then it continues on, the second is like unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God's word is centered around these two laws, to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And can I remind you in that order as well, to love God first with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. God's love is perfect, everlasting, sacrificial. God wants to be with you. But let me ask you this. How is your love for God? I'm ashamed to say I don't love God as much as God loves me. I don't have the perfect love that God has for me, but I love God. Jesus came to Peter in John chapter 21, and in verse number 15 it says, "And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Remember, Peter had left Jesus' side. He had cursed him and said, "I'm going fishing." And he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he said, "Feed my lambs." He saith in him the second time. And he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." He said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "Do you love me more than these?" How many times has God come to us and said, "Do you love me more than what's keeping you out of church? Do you love me more than what's keeping you from reading my word? Do you love me more than spending time in prayer? Do you love me than these things?" And we say, "Lord, you know I love thee." And he's saying, "Feed my sheep." I asked permission to tell this story, just so you know, my wife wasn't feeling well today, couldn't make it. And I asked her permission before I tell the story. We were in Bible college. It's now been 20 years ago. We were seniors and nearing graduation. And if you're nearing graduation, you know that is a glorious feeling, whether it's high school or college, and nearing the end. And we had been dating for a period of time and got to that point where I was ready to tell Bethany, "I love you." And I talked to her dad and said, "Would that be okay with you?" And he threatened me. And no, he didn't do that. Probably way too easy on me. I don't know. But I said, "Would that be okay if I told her?" And he said, "Yes, that'd be fine." It was Valentine's weekend, and they had a college activity, a romantic setting, but went to Santana Row to Maggiano's restaurant, and we were double dating with another couple that was there, and I had the whole night planned out, and I was going to tell her that night, "I love you." I think she's shaking her head at me right now. I'm sorry. She can correct me later on. And I had the night planned out, and you know how, guys, you have it planned in your head and it doesn't quite go the way that you planned? Anyone else do that? Whenever we plan something, you can guarantee something big is going to go wrong. That's just how every big event has happened. I'm not sure why, not for sure it's my fault or not. So we had this beautiful night planned and dinner, and I bought a nice pendant for her, a heart pendant, and symbolizing our love. And so that night we'd had dinner, and I arranged with one of my friends that was single, and I said, "Would you go and bring it to this balcony? It overlooked the whole courtyard, and it was all lit up that night, beautiful." And he went and brought it there, and so we just happened to wander to this beautiful courtyard, and it was sitting there. I was like, "Oh, what's that?" Really corny, and gave that to her, and we talked for a few minutes, and as we talked, and I was like building up the courage and all the sweet sentimental things that you don't have to know about, and I said, "I want to tell you, and I'm getting ready for it. I want to tell you that I love you." And I don't know what I was expecting in return other than "I love you" to be said in return, and what was said in return was nothing. I wasn't ready for that. I don't want to cast any blame on anyone else here, but there's another story similar to that I've heard. And so I'm sitting there. We're both in trouble. I'm sitting there going, "What do I do now?" You've let yourself out there. "I love you," and there was nothing back. And I thought, "What do I do now?" And I'm trying to backtrack, and I'm like, "Well, this is awkward." And there was still more of the activity left, and I had told my roommate, who was the double date with us there, and we went back to the bus. And as I'm coming back, and he's like, "How'd it go?" And my now wife, it worked out, if you didn't know. And she's in front of me, and he's asking, "How did it go?" And I'm like, "Don't say anything, Let's not make it more awkward." And we get back and get back to the college and say our goodbyes and goodnight. And I go back just defeated. What did I do wrong? What happened to me? You feel bad for me yet? And I go back to my room that night, and my roommate and friend that was helping me, they're like, "What happened?" And I told them the story, and they're like, "Man." And as any guy would know, guys are not there at that time to console you. They're there to make you feel worse about yourself. And they're giving me a hard time about it. And I'm like, I don't know what I did, what happened. You know, like, I saw it going this way and it didn't. And then all of a sudden, the phone rang in the dorm. And I thought, I wonder who that could be. I think I was in the middle of telling the story still. And it was my wife, and she called. And they're like, she's going to tell you on the phone. I was like, no, she's not. In the midst of that, she had gone back, and she called her dad and told her what happened. And he said, you didn't tell him that you loved him back? And she said, no. And he said, well, do you love him? And she said, yes, but I wanted to tell him in my own way. And he said, you call him right now and tell him. Don't do that to the guy. So she calls me. Did she only tell me she loved me because her dad told her to? I'm not really sure. She called me and she said, and we talked for a minute. I don't remember what she said other than I heard the words back. To me, it did not matter where, when, how, that she returned and said, I love you. Aw, there you go. And they lived happily ever after. I'll pay for that story. I asked her several times, it is okay if I tell the story? And she said, okay, if you have to. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, we love him because he first loved us. It's one thing to say I love you to someone, but when they return that, say I love you. Not just saying it, but they mean it. God has shown us all through creation, all through his sacrifice, salvation, everything. God has told you, I love you. But you know what he wants to hear back? I love you too. We love him because he first loved us. Psalm 116 verse 1 says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. If you could put your own saying in there, not changing the Bible, but I love the Lord because. Couldn't you go on and on? I love God because all the blessings that God has given to you in your life, starting with your salvation and going all down the list. I love God because of this, and I love God because of this. And we go down the line. You know, God wants to hear from you. I love you. I love you, God. You know, God is telling you that every day, Christian, lost person. God is telling you every day, I love you. I love you, but he wants to hear it back. I love you too. I want to talk to you this morning about this, your love for God. God said, I love you. What is your response? God showed you his love. Does your life say the same? How do we show God that we love him? First, this morning is this, that we love his word. That we love his word. How do you really tell and show someone you love them? You ever thought about that? Like, how do you get someone a present? You know that you have that person in your family that they have everything? And you want to get them a gift, but there's nothing you can buy them because they've already bought it themselves, or they don't want anything. But somehow you want to show them, I love you. And you're trying to think, how could I show them? How could I tell them? Many times it's not the amount of something you give them, but something that is special from you to them. How can I show, how can I tell God that I love him, that you love his word, that you love your Bible, that you love the word of God, that God has written for you? The Word of God, the perfect Word of God, the eternal Word of God that he has given to you, that God's Word is for you. And if you love God's Word, you're showing God that you love him. Did you spend time in his Word today? Did you read his Word today to see how much, all through Scripture, every page, how much God has proved his love over and over to you? Could you imagine this, couples, if you were to write a note to someone that you love and give them a note, and at the end of the day say, did you read the note that I gave to you? And they said, no, I didn't have time. And you thought, oh, okay. Maybe they'll read it later. And the next day, did you read the note? No, I didn't have time to read it. And it keeps going. You think, I never had time. And you won't stop to read that love note from your husband, your wife. But yet, how many times do we take God's word and set it aside? Say, God, I don't have time for your word today, but I love you. God said, if you love me, read my word. Read my word. Psalms 119:97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Do you love your Bible? Do you love God's word? Do you spend time in God's word? Or too many times does something else take the place of our time with God in our day? Taking time for God is important. It's special. Today, millions and millions of people, I didn't look it up today, are going to gather around at a stadium or to watch online to watch a game that none of us care about who wins or loses. Just kidding. Maybe there's a few. But millions of people are gonna set aside the time and spend all kinds of money and fan gear and all this stuff to cheer on a team. Someone's going to throw a ball around and score a touchdown and crown a Super Bowl winner. Take the time for God, but then many times we say, but God, I don't have time for you. People will spend hours and hours and money and paint themselves up and crazy as much as they can, but then come to God and say, God, I love you. And he says, well, show me then. Prove it to me. See, it's one thing to say you love someone. It's another thing to show them that you love them. God said, if you love me, spend time in my word. God wants to speak to you through his word. God's word is alive. It's real. It quickens us. It makes us alive. God speaks to us through his word. Do you love God's word? Number two, how do we show God that we love? And number two, we keep his commandments. We keep his commandments. In John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That key word in that verse there is if. And that's up to you and me, isn't it? If you love me. Your loved one ever said that to you before? If you love me, you'll buy me this gift. If you love me, you'll take me out to this place for dinner. If you love me, and it might be, this is probably more what it is, you will put your clothes in the laundry basket, right? See, married couples, that's what real love is, right? You know, he's doing the dishes for me. He must love me, right? That's real love when you're married, I think. But they want the flowers and the cards and all that as well, guys. It is Valentine's Day this week, if you forgot. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments, if. So in other words, if you don't keep God's commandments, what does that say? We don't love God. God, I love you a little bit. I'll obey your commandments a little bit because I really don't love you that much. It's really what it's meaning, what it's saying. John 15, verse 9 and 10 says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. See, why does God give us commandments? Because he wants to bless our lives. See, too many times people think, well, God is always telling us what to do and what not to do because he wants to ruin our lives, right? Isn't that why God told us what to do? He wants to have no fun, no joy. No, because God wants to bless your life. God wants to give you joy and peace and love and hope and all those things. And he said, you got to keep my commandments. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And really, it's about the heart, isn't it? But the book of Proverbs says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Every issue is a heart issue. And he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find good understanding in the sight of God and man. It says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. You know, does God have to force us? Well, first of all, God is not going to force you to obey. He'll make you want to obey, won't he? He'll make you want to, but he's not going to force you to do it. He said, if you continue, let the heart keep my commandments, he says. Those verses come directly before Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How can we trust in God when you give God your heart? How can I follow God's word? You give him your heart. See, again, God has shown us over and over and over again, I love you, hasn't he? Every day, God is telling you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But he wants to hear it back. I love you too. And not just saying it, but meaning it. I love you too. How do you show your love to God? Number three is this. You love God more than this world. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. I made the mistake of looking up at the lights again. Now I'm seeing just bright lights staring at the pages. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 15. We looked at many of these verses from the book of 1 John last week about God's love for us, that God is love. Not just that God loves, but that God is love. He is the definition of what love is. Many people think, well, God is hateful and cruel. No, God is love. Everything that God does is from a heart of love. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This world is constantly trying to steal and take your love away from God. Did you realize that? Satan is always trying to get the tricks and the temptations to steal your heart away from God, to keep us out of church, to keep us away from God's word, to keep us from praying and living a holy life. And he's trying to pull us to the things of this world. And here's the problem. We all have something called a flesh, a sin nature. You have one of those, right? And that sin nature is constantly being pulled to the things of this world. And God says this, love not the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You have to choose if you're going to love God or the things of this world. See, too many times we're trying to play both sides. Guess what? If you're in battle and you try fighting for both teams, what's going to happen? They're both going to shoot you down, aren't they? You can't play both sides. You say, God, I love you, but I also love my sin. God, I love you, but I also love this world. God says the love of the Father is not in him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You got to choose who you love. Going back to the subject, it's Valentine's week, but for those that are married here, you chose to give someone your love. Not because you had to, but because you wanted to. Right? Aren't you thankful we don't live in the generation or the country of arranged marriages? Amen? All the young people say amen, right? God does not force you to love him. You chose to give that person your love, your spouse. You chose to love them. You can't say, hey, I love you and this other woman. I love you and this other man. No, it's singular, isn't it? Isn't it singular? And God wants all of your love, not just some of it. He wants all of your love, not separated and, this world gets some and I get the rest. God wants all of your love. But guess what? God will never lead you the wrong direction. Remember when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, because God wants to bless your life. He wants to protect you. He wants to keep you from harm and sin. Our flesh in this world is constantly pulling us away, isn't it? But is that going to turn out good? That's going to harm us. Live a life of destruction and ruin. God wants to bless your life. You must love God more than this world. In 2 Timothy 4:10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. How many people have quit church? Quit on God, walked away from the Lord because they said, you know what? I love this world more than God. Guess what? This world will never love you back. Right? This world will never love you back the way that God loves you. You'll be left with the ruin that the world has to give, but God will never leave you with regrets. God loves you with an everlasting love, with a perfect love. We sing the song, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. May I ask you this today, how much do you love God today? Not as much as I should. I don't love God as much as I should. I'm not as faithful to God as I should be, but I know this, that God loves me. That was your love for God. You say, God, I love you. Well, we show God we love him by being faithful to his word as God has spoken to us through. Be faithful to God's word. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. If you love me, you can't love the things of this world. How was your love for God today? See, when you settle the love issue, that settles the rest of the things in the Christian life. You say, God, do I have to? No, I get to. Do I have to do? No, I get to do that. When you settle the love issue, it settles the heart issue in your life. See, when your heart issue, your love issue is, you say, God, I love you. There's nothing that God could ask me to do that I'm not willing to do. There's nothing that I'm not willing to give up if I love God the way that I should. But when my heart is taken to the things of this world, then I start fighting God in those areas. How was your love for God today? Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. How was your love for God today? First of all is this, do you know him as your Savior? You're not a Christian because you were raised in church.